are. Welcome back to Book Stage and Screen. You're here with Samantha and Gordon and one of our repeat offenders. That's what Gordon likes to call our repeat
nice.
Guests. Yes, very welcoming, isn't it?
Yeah.
We have local author Tanya Bird. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks
welcome
for having
back.
Me back.
Yes, of course. You've been very industrious while you've been gone too, haven't you?
Yeah, still riding away. So I think last time I saw you guys was March, maybe just
okay.
after March.
Yeah.
And I just released my first book and...
Yep.
Yeah, since released my second and third due out in January, so been busy, which is good.
What in God's name do you did you leave here and just start writing the moment you stepped out of this
Have
door?
You slept
pretty
since
much.
March?
Yeah, no, I do sleep. I just don't take days off, I think is the key.
Mm.
And I think we were saying last time that I was writing like 1,000 words a day, and if you do it for long enough, it becomes such a habit that you can't not do it. Like, you know, I took a few days off over the weekend and it threw me. I was like, back to it, now I'm behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
so.
Like cocaine, isn't it? You
it's
just
exactly
really need to
like
do it
cocaine.
Every day.
It really is.
Well, now that we've got Tanya's confession on that.
Yeah.
So tell us about this new book. It's part of a series.
It is. So it's the same series. It's called the Companion series, and it's a medieval romance set in a fantasy world. The main protagonist in the first three books, including the one coming out in Jan, is basically a farm girl who's sold to by her parents to a prince as a royal companion.
Mm-hmm.
And companions are the kingdom's sort of most beautiful and educated women, and they're also owned by Sirisand's royal men. So it's a bit of a different type of romance.
Mm.
And the prince she belongs to suffers from PTSD, which in medieval times wouldn't have been known as such. And they basically form this very intense bond that spans three books. And yeah, the first book was received really well by readers, and the second book probably even better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that really? Kind of keeps me pumped to get the third one out, and then I'll have a break from the series for a while. So.
Do you have to read the first one to read the second one?
Yes, I do put that on all the retail sites, that they're not standalone novels. They're designed to be read in order. So, yeah, but... the first one's still free at the moment if anyone wants to check it out.
If you want to
so,
jump on.
Yeah,
yeah,
if you want to
very generous.
Suss me out before, you know, diving into the series. So, yeah.
Why do you do that? Why? Because you've released it independently. You're the price setter. You could have said $100.
Exactly.
You could have said $20.
And then I would have had just my mum buy it.
Even then she might have asked for a discount, you think, at $100?
She would have, I'll just wait for you to send me a free one.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because there's a lot of noise, particularly on Amazon, and there's a lot of books. I can't even remember what the latest, like 14 million books or something. So...
Right.
To kind of get heard, you do kind of need to let people sample your work. So I don't know whether I'll keep it free ongoing, but while I'm at the start of, you know, my career and people are still like, you know, who's this person? I don't think I want to fork out, you know, $3.99 on an unknown author.
Because
people get burned all the time trying out new authors. So, yeah, and it's worked really well. You know, it gets between sort of 150 and 250 downloads a day.
Oh, wow.
And
that's great.
Quite a big portion of those readers then go on to buy the second book.
Okay.
So whilst people are like, why are you giving away the first one? I probably make more doing it that way because I would get less people trying the series if I charged for the first book. So that's just a personal preference. Not all indies do it that way.
Right.
But yeah, that's how it's worked out for me.
I guess if you didn't have a second book, it would be hard.
I didn't give it away until I had a second book, and then I was like, you know, okay, now I'll, you know, I can afford to take the hit. Or else you just, because you still have to pay for all of the things like editing and cover design and stuff. So, if, you know, unless you're a really generous person and, you know, you don't want to make money out of it, then sure, give it all of them away. But, yeah.
But then it's kind of hard, isn't it? If it's always free, then there's no value to your writing as such.
Yeah.
And I think
yeah.
people sort of, well, why should charge you for it now? You know, like even if they're enjoying it and they would pay for it. You know, that marketing plan, did that come from somewhere that you thought?
Yeah, it's actually pretty used a lot in the indie community. A lot of sort of indie authors, I suppose, do that as a strategy. Right. Mind you, a lot of those authors have multiple series, so they'll alternate between putting the first book in a series free, like they'll alternate to another series and,
right,
you know, try and get people in. But, you know, you can do it at any stage. I suppose it's just, if I wasn't selling or making money from the second book, then it's probably not something I would do. But I thought, I'll do it for a little while and see. Mm. And then I made a lot more money that way than trying to sell the two books. So that's worked for me.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. And for sure, like iPhone apps, they do something similar where the app initially is free.
Yeah.
But then if you want to...
It's like the light version. Yeah.
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 Yeah. You got to start paying for extra bits. Okay. So exactly. Well, what else have you got? Because you are an indie publisher.
Mm-hmm.
What other tips if there's other indie publishers listening?
Yeah,
so, potential publishers.
Yeah, so if there's any writers out there thinking that, you know, going down the traditional route is kind of the only option, it really isn't. And I've been really surprised and met a lot of indie authors that are making a very good living out of it. As long as you're putting out books regularly, that's the key. You can't just sort of put out two books and then live off the royalties for the rest of your life. You have to kind of be releasing at least, I'd say, 2 to 3 books a year to kind of so people remember you. So,
yeah, wow.
Yeah.
But that doesn't seem to be a problem for you, so that's good.
No, that's kind of my aim moving forward, is to do 3 books a year. And, so far I've been able to do it, and I've noticed that everything just becomes a lot quicker. Like the first book took me 5 years. So,
okay.
And then the second book took me, you know, 6 months or something. And then the third book, I mean, it's with the editor now, so it took me like less than 4.
Right.
And it's probably the strongest book, because obviously you get, you know, better as a writer the more you write. So I don't think it's a case at all of, you know, if you rush the quality and the work's not there. It's still the same process. You're just, you know, doing it quicker.
Yeah, mm. Yeah. So you haven't changed your pattern of writing or anything like that? You just are obviously more efficient at it.
Yeah, yep. I just make sure I get my words done every day. I do it 1,000 words a day. With the last book, I stepped it up a little bit because I was quite keen to get it out, being the final book in, or the final part of that story in the series. And I, you know, just stepped it up to something small, like 1,200 words a day. But it's amazing how many days that knocks off your, you know, word count goals and stuff. So first drafts for me are easy and fun, and the stories just pour out, and I'm very, you know, I'm always like, oh, this is so good, you know, wow, look, this is, they're going to love this. And then for me, the second draft is just, you know, this is the worst thing I've ever written. No one's going to read it. And all the self-doubt kicks in, and that's when the work begins for me. That's right. That takes me the longest, is all the rewriting and that part of it. So
what, you write the first draft, do you then give it to the editor to work on that draft, or do you do the second draft?
No, so I do 3 drafts. My second draft is basically, I don't write very clean. So my second draft is really like filling out the story, fleshing it out. My first drafts kind of read like screenplays, very dialogue heavy. And then I go back and I think about like the setting and slow it right down. And then my third draft is really just like polishing the language and you know, doing all the grammatical stuff. But for me, it's sound for me. So I tend to read the third draft aloud and see how it sounds. And that's just my fiddly bit. And then it goes to better readers, so I pay for better readers at this stage, and they just give me feedback. These are basically just readers that read a lot, and they'll just say whether the story works, whether they liked it, if there's any weaknesses, plot holes. They're very good at finding plot holes, and they find things that you're like, I have no idea how you found them, but I'm so grateful.
So what is better readers?
So they're basically just, they're not like a... they're not qualified in any way. They're basically just readers that are, they read heaps. So some of them might read like, you know, 6 romance novels a week. So they know the genre. You can get them for any genre. And you can get them a number of ways, but I get mine through my editor. So they have a bunch of beta readers that, you know, it costs me like $40 a person, and they fill out a form at the end, basically. Okay. So yeah, that's what that is.
That's very economical,
yeah,
really.
It really is. It's fantastic. Because you could pay for a developmental editor, but you're looking at, you know, anywhere from $600 to $1,500 for a developmental edit, and then you'll still need to pay for copy editing and proofreading.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're pretty comfortable with your writing, then beta readers are definitely a cheaper alternative, and you probably want to get at least three, and you don't take everything that they say, you know, as like gospel, if that's the expression, but look for things that are common between the three, and usually you'll find, you know,
okay,
things that they all kind of, you know, don't like or do like, or that works really well. And
yeah. So it's positive as well as
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's good. Otherwise,
But $40 is so cheap, really. You can afford to get 10 people to do it, and it's still only $400, which is kind of assessment fees sort of start at $400, really.
Yeah. Mm. And I know there's some places that charge like $80 per beta reader and stuff. And I know a lot of the bigger authors, like your Mark Dawson's and Nick Stevens and stuff, they have like their own beta readers from their very committed, you know, readers. So if they have people, you know, email them and go, I didn't like this, or they leave really good reviews that are really detailed, they'll actually contact them and say, hey, do you want to be a beta reader? So I'm not quite at that stage yet.
Sure.
So, yeah, but, you know, maybe one day. But at the same time, I kind of like that they don't know me, they're not connected to me in any way.
So your name's not on it as such, or it is? So they could look you up.
I'm not sure, to be honest, if my name goes on. I send it through to the editor and they send it through. So I imagine it's probably on it, but they wouldn't know who I am. They might Google me afterwards if they liked it.
Yeah, of course. Now, that's another thing, I guess, with social media. Well, how do you sort of approach that? That's a big beast in terms of editing you've done, cover design you've done, so you've got it all together. And there's your book. So how do you approach putting it out there?
Yeah, I rely mostly on my mailing list. So that's probably your biggest asset as an indie author is your mailing list. It's really hard to reach people. You'll struggle to make sales via Twitter. Most of most indie authors' followers are other indie authors as opposed to readers. That's what I find on Twitter. It might not be everyone's experience. Facebook's good, but it's, you know, designed now so that you have to basically pay if you want to reach anyone. So you'll either have to boost your post or create an ad or something, which can get really expensive if you're like me and you, you know, just have a few books out. Not so much of an issue for the, you know, seven-figure indie authors. And, I use it, but to be honest, I use it more. I post a lot of jokes and just you know, I don't use it as a sales platform as such. I use it more as a way to hang out with you know, my readers that actually want to hang out with me back. So
Well, that is something, isn't it, finding your tribe, building your tribe, getting other people to do your marketing without, you know, without forcing it or something.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what you want, people to go, oh, I actually read a really good book.
Yeah.
It's the equivalent of standing at the water fountain, isn't it? What's that expression?
Water cooler.
Yeah, now that we've all got bottles of water, nobody stands together unless they're filling it up.
Yeah, that's
true. Yeah, so, okay, that's interesting.
I mainly rely on my mailing list. I started with zero when I launched my first book, and I now have about 2,700 subscribers, which is really good.
It's pretty solid.
Great way. And I, you know, do a lot of cross promotion stuff with other indie authors, which is a really like a free way to, you know, they'll share my book, their, you know, my free book, I'll share their free book, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So the people that download your book for free, do you find that they're the source for your subscribers? How are you getting subscribers? Where are they coming
from? I use something called a magnet book. If anyone wants to know more about what that is, you can head over to yourfirst10kreaders.com, and if you sign up for the mailing list there, you get a free book called Reader Magnets, which explains the whole thing. But basically, it's anything that you have that's extra that you want to offer. So if you subscribe, you'll get, it might be a novelette, it might be deleted scenes. People have done some really creative and fun things. Mine's a novelette called The Mentor, which features one of the minor characters from the series.
Smart.
So yeah, subscribers who want that, just sign up and they get that. And I also create a lot of other bonus material to send to them, which, you know, I don't get anything out of that, but readers love it. So I do like letters between the characters that have been discovered and stuff like that. You know, letters that never made it to the people. And yeah, so sorry, I've forgotten the original question, but I don't know. That answers.
That's how you got the subscribers.
Yeah.
So what's your take on seeing, I gather you've found some more, you've found some great ways to further your reach, which is hard to do, especially when none of us want to pay for Facebook far-reaching ones.
No.
What's your take on, say, book trailers? Because that's, you talked about your first book being more like a screenplay. So I guess I'm gathering in your head it might sort of look like a screenplay to you, or a film when you're writing it.
Yeah, I think every indie author thinks, oh yeah, this would make a good film.
Yeah.
And crosses their fingers.
Yeah.
I had a book trailer for a little while. I made it myself, so I decided to take it down and it had my old cover. I've since had the covers redone on my series. To be honest, I don't know anyone that's sold books or increased their reach that way. It's one of those probably a little bit indulgent things of, you know, it's just a cool thing to have and something to stick on your, you know, pinned tweet. And I don't know. That's just my view, but I'm sure there's people that have, you know, done good things with them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's interesting, isn't it, just to see what your experience has been. And so you've got the third one coming out in
January.
January,
yeah. So that's with the editor now, and really good feedback from the beta readers. So yeah, as soon as that was kind of done, I'm actually starting a new series called Roman Hearts, and it's going to be a bit more historical, set in Rome, obviously. And I thought, oh, I'll take some time off writing and just get really into the research, and I just couldn't do it. I couldn't not write. So I've been researching writing, and so if you look through my first draft, it's all these bracketed bits like, look this up, add this later.
Check that this actually happened.
Check what this is called in Rome. So it's quite funny, but I just feels like waste of time to me if I, you know, take 2 weeks off. That's 14,000 words. I had to do the maths.
Well, your maths is quite good.
Well, that's fantastic. We look forward to, what's the third? So tell us the names of the books so that we can go and look for them.
So the first book in the series is called The Royal Companion. So that's free. You can get it on Amazon, iBooks, Nook, Kobo, a lot of other smaller retailers that I can never remember. Playstar, Scribd, probably said that wrong. And the second book's called The Common Girl. And the third book coming out in January is called The Majestic Imposter.
Oh, okay. That sounds intriguing.
All based on a true story.
On a sleepless night that Tanya had after the kids being
that's
sick.
That's right. Yeah. Yep, you've got a good memory.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. Thanks for coming in. Not only congratulations on three books in a year, a hats off, big hats off, and also for sharing some indie tips. That's really important to get that out there, because where did you sort of go to get your tips? Where did you sort of source
out? So I actually
did
Nick Stevenson's course, the First 10K Reader course. And once you're in to any sort of little group, you just find whole other little groups and stuff. So, yeah, if anyone's looking for some good sites, try selfpublishingformula.com. Great sort of yellow pages type books where you can find editors and cover designers and things. Even books on how to work with an editor and what the different types of editor. There's also the creativepen.com, pen with a double N, and you get a author 2.0 blueprint book if you sign up to her mailing list. There's so many resources there that I won't go into because I know we're out of time. And if you're a podcast person, there's the Science Fiction and Fantasy podcast. It's got a stack of useful information for writers of all genres. And if you don't mind swearing, then definitely check out Self-Publishing Podcast with Johnny, Sean and Dave. It's really funny, but it's also great to see what's possible in self-publishing. So if you're interested in experimenting, collaboration, any of those things, those guys are just, they're just trying everything, and they've built up like a little empire, is that the word? Yeah. So worth checking out.
Okay,
if you can handle the language.
Wonderful. And all this is on your website?
No, none of this is on my website. Oh, okay. Actually, but anyone who wants links is
brilliant.
Free to
we do our research.
Me.
We pride ourselves on research. In brackets, we better check if it's on
our
website.
That's why we've got an army of zilch. Yeah.
Our empire here.
Anyone is welcome to email me if they need links to anything. So.
But do you do a writers group? Is that you?
Are
you
yes. Yep. So that's Saltwater Writers. We're actually meeting tonight. Yeah, we're down to three members. So if there's any local creatives out there that want to join, doesn't matter what level you're at, as long as you're sort of committed to improving your craft and want to work well in a group environment, then by all means get in contact.
What happens in that writers group? Apart from
stays in that writers group.
Plenty of alcohol drinking and there's a bit of fist fighting as well. Yeah. Sticky. But
all
what actually happens?
Stuff.
Yeah.
Mostly critiquing of each other's work is the main thing. So we send around 2,000 words of whatever we're working on to the entire group a week before the meeting, and then everyone has time to go through it. And yeah, it's a really good way to get some fresh eyes on your work, get some feedback, and also to read what other people are doing and, just sharing ideas, talk a little bit about, competitions that might be running.
But it guilts you into, for want of a better word, it guilts you into writing, doesn't
so
it?
So if you join, you'd obligated. Be writing at least 2,000 words every 2 months. So
yeah, I mean, if you're not doing that, there's no point joining a writer's group, is there really?
Yeah.
Well, thanks again for joining us. I'm sure we'll have you back on your next blockbuster series.
That'd be great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks.
Go home and write.